I hope you're all ready for Christmas, and not long to go now, is it? Only a few days. What's the difference between the normal alphabet and the Christmas alphabet? Anyone know? The Christmas alphabet has Noel. Yeah. What about this one? Which one is the best Christmas present you can give or receive? No, nope. A broken drum. Apparently, you just can't beat it. I think the older you get, the worse your jokes get, don't they? Is that okay? I'm going to put up a slide, or James is going to put up a slide. Does that date ring a bell to anyone? What do you think might have happened on the 17th of December, 1903? No. So just over, 120 years ago. Well, on that date, history really happened because Orville and Wilbur Wright took the first man-powered flight, first one in the whole of history. Now, most of us, I think, have probably been in an aeroplane, so we probably don't think much about what life was like before we could jump in an aeroplane. But this was something that they had been working on. They were bicycle mechanics and engineers. They had done experiments with tunnels and tried to understand aerodynamics and all of that sort of thing. So when this happened, it wasn't really a fluke because they'd been kind of working on it for some time. Anyway, I've got a copy of the telegram that they sent to their father, who was a pastor of a church. Not that that's relevant, but always nice to mention it. Because they wanted their family to be the first people to hear the news of this historic flight. So they sent a telegram that same day, which reads as this. You may or may not be able to see that, I don't know. Success, they write. 4 flights, Thursday morning, all against 21-mile wind. Started from level with engine power alone. Average speed through the air, 31 miles per hour. Longest flight, 57 seconds. Inform press, home for Christmas. Their sister Catherine went to the telegram office to collect the telegram, which had been sent, and which of course had also then been read by the telegram operator. No privacy so much in those days. And the telegram operator commented on this momentous news by saying, "Nice to know the boys will be home for Christmas." In other words, they had totally missed the main event, hadn't they? The main point of the story. Nice that the boys will be home for Christmas. And I suppose it's true as well, when we think of the Christmas story, it's so easy to miss the main event of God coming into our world, of God becoming a human being in Jesus. The main event that a Savior has been born to us. The good news of the angel was that it is for all people. And even in our carol service, I guess it's possible with the kind of sentimentality of a carol service to somehow miss the main event or what it's really all about. Going back to the telegram, did you notice it said, "Inform the press"? Well, that's exactly what their sister Catherine did. The local newspaper editor was aware of the work that they were doing, and so she went and told him. But he apparently didn't think it was newsworthy. After all, it was only 57 seconds. Some years later, when it was slightly embarrassing to him and other newspapers as well, who had all missed the story, had said if it was 57 minutes, he would have printed it. But 57 seconds didn't seem like much of a story. and perhaps a baby in a manger 2,000 years ago doesn't seem much of a story for us today. Easy to miss the main event, easy to miss really what it's all about. It is true, it was only a very short flight, less than a minute, and yet it changed our world, didn't it? Flying is something we just almost take for granted. How much more a baby born in an obscure land of Palestine all those years ago? He has changed lives then, and he continues to change lives today. So let's not miss what it's all about. Even with all the busyness of Christmas and gatherings with perhaps family and friends, or as I say, the sentimentality of a carol service. And by the way, I love carol services. But let's not miss what it's all about. So what was it all about? Why was it that Jesus came? Two things. And both are found actually in the reading that Fiona read to us from Matthew, where we're told by the angel, or Joseph was told in a dream about the name of this baby. So two things. Jesus, first of all, came to save us from our sins. They were to give him the name Jesus because he will save us from our sins. And then secondly, Jesus came to be present with us. He was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So let's just consider those two things. First of all, Jesus came to save us from our sins. When the angel came to reassure Joseph and Mary, that Mary hadn't been unfaithful, that the baby she was carrying was indeed the Son of God, he was told to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe you're sat here tonight thinking, I don't really need to be saved from my sins. You know, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not a particularly bad person. And I think most people, if they believe there is a God or there is a heaven and a hell, they kind of have the view, I think, of, well, my good will outweigh my bad. And I'm not as bad as so-and-so. You know, on the whole, I'm a fairly good person. And I think many of us kind of take that approach. You know, if there is a God, then surely he won't turn me away because I'm more kind of good than bad. And I'm not like, you know, I'm not a murderer or that kind of person. And yet, unfortunately, it doesn't quite work that way. The Bible says that we have all sinned. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, it's hard to disagree with that, really, isn't it? We may not be a terrible murderer, etc., but we have done things and said things and thought things that we know we shouldn't have done, that they're wrong. And, you know, if somebody does something wrong, let's just imagine somebody, you've not done this, but you've speeded and got a fine. Or maybe somebody's committed a crime. Maybe they've burgled a house, for example. Then we expect for them to face consequences, don't we? We expect them to be punished in some way. We don't want them just to get away with it. Because that would just be, you know, madness, really, wouldn't it? People can do things wrong and just simply get away with it. So how does Jesus save us from our sins? Well, he does it by taking the punishment for our sins on himself. He stood in our place. And in many ways, that is what the cross is all about. Where on the cross, Jesus took the whole sin of the whole world upon himself, which is, you know, we can never imagine what that must have been like. As someone once said, he carried the can for us all. You may know these words from John's Gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God loves us? That God sent his Son to die on a cross in our place and to take the punishment we deserve, he being innocent, so that we could have eternal life? You have to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So let's not miss what it's all about. Secondly, he came to be present with us. Again, just reading from Matthew, which says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, there's something quite special and unique, I guess, about being present in a situation, being present with someone, for example. I would imagine you've all been to a live event of some nature, whether it's a sporting event, one or two looking at football perhaps, posh perhaps, or maybe a concert or a play or something. And often when you go to a live event, it can be quite expensive to buy a ticket. If you're quite a tall person, you may find there's very little leg room. Drinks and refreshments also can be quite expensive. Depending where you're sitting at the event, you may find yourself a long way from the stage or the pitch or wherever. And you can be tempted to think, well, actually, it'd be better just to watch this at home, or buy the DVD, or watch it on YouTube, or whatever. And yet, being there is so different, isn't it? It's so, you kind of capture the whole atmosphere of the event. I know if I go to a football match, you know, I will shout and scream and sing with everyone else. Whereas I'm watching Match of the Day on a Saturday night, I just tend to watch it. No, I'm not jumping out my chair or something. Being present is very different. You may remember as well when Queen Elizabeth passed away, was it 2022? People travelled from all around the world to be present. Just to be there on that occasion. In fact, some people queued up for more than 24 hours just to be present. Even though it was live on television, people wanted to be present, to pay their respects, to be there in person. There's something fundamentally different about being present. The events of Christmas remind us that God isn't a God who is far away from us or far removed or unconcerned about our lives. In fact, it's the very opposite, isn't it? It reminds us that God wants to be present with us. He wants to be involved in our lives. And so he comes to us in Jesus. He wants to be involved in all the ups and downs of our lives. You know, the highs and the lows, the disappointments, the decisions that we make, the dilemmas that we face. You know, all that life contains, God wants to be present. God has come to be present with us. So he's come to save us from our sins and therefore connect us back in relationship with God. But he's also come to be present with us each and every day. In a few moments, we are going to be singing our final carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And there are a few lines in that carol which I think are quite significant. If we can have the next slide. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. We all have hopes, don't we, and fears, plans that we have, things that we hope won't happen, things that we long will happen. And all of that can be found or met in Jesus. All the things that are significant to you and I can be met, can be interwoven into our life with God. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in Jesus tonight. And another line from that carol is this, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Now, Jesus never forces his way into anyone's life. He's almost like the unseen guest waiting to be invited into someone's life. For meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ will enter in. It says, I think in John's Gospel, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, to be part of his family, to know that our sins are forgiven, to know that we're in relationship with God, and to know God with us every single day of our lives. And one final quote from that carol. It says, be born in us today. That could be a prayer, couldn't it? Be born in me today. You know, Lord, I don't understand all that you are. I can't fully get my head round God becoming a baby or Jesus carrying the weight of sin of the world on his shoulders on the cross. You know, it's just way too much. But I kind of believe that you're real. I kind of believe that you love me. And something deep inside me wants to connect with you. That could be our prayer. Be born in me today. Come into my life. Be the difference. Be the source of my hope, my peace, my joy, the one whom I can trust. That was something I did when I was a teenager. And since that day, you know, I've messed up many times. I am far, far from perfect. And it's a prayer I need to pray more than once, really. Be born in me today. Come and be alive in me today. Come and be real in my life today. It's a prayer, I guess, we could pray for the first time. Or maybe for the umpteenth time. And Jesus will always come into our lives. Let's take a moment to pray. Father God, thank you for the Christmas story. Thank you for the wonder of it. The wonder of your love for this world that is so broken and so hurting. Amazing, Lord, that you would come into this world the way you did. And we can never understand that, Lord. But thank you that you came out of love to restore what is broken, that we might be reconnected with you, our Maker, that we might know something of your love for us. Lord, help us not to miss what it's all about, that we can be forgiven of our sin because of Jesus, and that we can know God with us every day because of Jesus, And so we bless you and we praise you for this Christmas story, not simply a story, but something that can truly change our lives. And so we pray for ourselves over this period, Lord. We pray for us as we celebrate Christmas, perhaps with family and friends, or even if we're on our own. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us. So may we know something of your love and your peace and your joy as we commit ourselves to you now, in the name of Jesus. Amen.